Okay, so pasuk parakofta pasuk kaf aleph. Okay, after the whole story, Yaakov shows up at the well. Yaakov's running away from his brother Esav at the command of his mother and his father Yitzchak and Rivka. He shows up at the well. He meets Lav. He goes into Lavan's house. Lavan says, "Come work for me." Lavan, his uncle, says, "Work for me." And he says, "What do you want?" And Yaakov says, Yaakov sees he has two daughters. He has the younger daughter Rachel, who is described as beautiful. The older daughter Leah, who is described as having an ayam rakos, weak or soft eyes, somehow unusual. And Rashi tells us that that's because she was crying. She was constantly crying because Rivka had two sons, Yaakov and Esav, and Lavan, brother and sister, had two daughters, Rachel and Leah, or really Leah and Rachel. And so people were saying that the older from this cousin would be with the older of that cousin, Leah and Esav, and the younger from this one would be with the younger of that one, Yaakov and Rachel. And so Leah was crying and davening that she shouldn't end up in the lot of Esav. She shouldn't end up having to be married off to Esav. Okay? So Yaakov sees the two girls and he says to his uncle Lavan, he says, "You know what? I'll work for you. Let me marry your younger daughter Rachel." Okay? And then he works the 7 years, and this is where we're up to. Vayomer Yaakov
Lavan. How did he choose? He said he offered 7 years.
Yeah, why did he go with seven?
Yeah.
Presumably because he figured whatever he was going to offer, Lavan was going to up it, because he knew that Lavan was a Rama, he knew Lavan was a trickster and crafty. So he figured, you know what? And because Lavan never responds, Lavan never like one-ups him when he says seven. Because Yaakov figured, you know what, I'll pick a high enough number, he won't bother me, and I'll know, I'm willing to go to this much, so we'll just start there. That's the most straightforward, you know, sort of answer that I've seen. They get more complicated than that, but as far as just for a pashut reading, Yaakov knew they were going to have the back and forth, so you just skip all that. You know, instead of lowballing, you just go for it, and that's it. And Lavan never responds. Lavan never says eight, because like this is beyond what Lavan even thought they were going to get to. Okay, good. So he works. Vayomer Yaakov el Lavan. Yaakov says to Lavan, "Havai sishti, bring me my wife, kimalu yamai, because my days have finished, va'avoe leha, and I will be with her, I will cohabit with her." Va'yasof Lavan et kol anshei hamakom va'yas mishteh. And Lavan gathered the entire people of the city, he gets everyone together, and they make a party, presumably the wedding, right? Vayhi ba'erev, and it was that night, vayikach es Leah bito, and he took Leah his daughter, vayavei osa ilav, and he brought her, Leah, to him, Yaakov, vayavo eleha, and Yaakov slept with her. Vayitain Lavan la es zilpa shivcha so leah bito shivcha, and Lavan gave one of his maidservants, Zilpa, to Leah, as a maidservant, as, you know, a wedding gift. And some of us get, you know, other things, you get china or dishes or, you know, whatever else. And she got a maidservant.
Why is that important?
I'm sorry?
Why is that important?
That he did that.
Yeah.
We'll come back to that. Okay, that's a good question. We'll put that in the list. All right. Vayhi baboker, and it was in the morning. Vihinehi Leah, and behold, she is Leah, meaning the wife. Vayomer el Lavan, and Yaakov runs out of his tent. Vayomer el Lavan, and he says to Lavan, "Mazos asis ali, what have you done to me? Halobar achel avanti imach v'lamerimisani. Didn't I work for you in order to marry Rachel? And why have you tricked me? Why have you deceived me?" Vayomer Lavan, and Lavan says, "Lo yasein chen bimkomenu, it is not done this way in our place. Lasei satira lefnei abechira, to give the younger before the elder. Malei shvozos, so finish up your week, presumably of Sheva Brachos with Leah, and continue working for me for another 7 years, and I will let you marry Rachel." Okay? And the story goes on from there. So we're gonna sort of pause here. Right, he says, "Work for me," and he lets Yaakov marry Rachel right away, and just, you know, on his word that he will work another 7 years for Rachel, because he's already sort of proven himself. And Yaakov then marries Rachel, and then the story from there ensues. Okay, the sibling rivalry and the births and all the different things. Okay, so as has become again sort of the derech, let's get down to some questions. What jumps out at us as being somewhat out of the ordinary, or perhaps in quotation marks, somewhat unnecessary, you know, within the specific dimension. So our first question was, why is it important what gift Lavan gave to Leah, and why was it important that he gave his maidservant Zilpa to Leah? Okay, so that's one. Anything else? Anything else strike you as at all out of the ordinary?
That's the question below.
nothing?
Good.
Okay?
We know
the famous Madrash. Right. Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. And it was in the morning, and she was Leah. As if to say...
At night she was wrong.
At night she wasn't Leah? Did something happen here, right? Did she found the phone booth, right? She switched people. It was, come on. She was Leah last night too. So what's it by Hiba Boker? So Rashi asks the question. Rashi gives an answer based on the Gemara, based on the Medrash. Okay? And we'll get there soon. But that's another question. Good.
What's Lavan's answer? We don't do this. I mean, he made a deal.
Okay, good. Right? Lavan's answer seems strange. Okay? They make a deal. They shook on a bargain. And then he says, you know what? I couldn't do it. It's not the minog here. Who cares? Let's ask a couple of questions on this. One, who cares you made a deal? Right? You made a deal, so who cares what the custom is? Two, why didn't Lavan tell him this earlier? Or why did Yaakov not know this? Additionally, why does Yaakov accept it?
What's his gaiva?
Just take a second word.
Well, no, I'm saying, why does Yaakov respond? Yaakov does not respond when Lavan says to him, this isn't our practice. Yaakov should have said what Gary said. I don't care what your practice is. We had a deal. You promised me what?
I don't owe you nothing.
Right? I don't care what your minhag
is. Well, you should have been mechinam.
Right. You know?
Really?
Give me both. Right. So good. So you know what? If I have to marry the older one first, I'll marry the older one now. Because that I have to get that out of the way.
But you owe
and now
Rachel.
I'll marry Rachel. You owe me Rachel because of my 7 years. I'm not working another 7.
I don't owe you anything.
Why does Yaakov accept this deal? It seems strange. Okay? I'd argue there's a missing conversation here. There's two, really, but there's one that's more glaring. One of the missing conversations only comes out after we read Rashi. But there's a missing conversation.
Between who?
Yeah, you tell me. Who's missing?
There's only two people, Leah.
Well, there are three people. Leah and whom?
And Rachel. And Rachel.
Okay, that's one.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, let's read again. So, they make the party, they get married. And who does Yaakov think he's marrying?
Rachel.
Who in the morning does he discover he married?
Leah.
Vayhi baboker, and it was the morning, and it's Leah. Vayomer el Lavan, and he goes to Lavan. What's the missing conversation? Who should he have spoken to?
Didn't he speak to his wife first?
Didn't he talk to Leah? Right? Didn't he ever say something to her? Turn around, wake up, see it's the wrong girl, and go, what are you doing here? It's not there. So I would call that, quote, again, I'd say that's a missing conversation. There's a medrash there also, yeah. Correct. There's a medrash in Bereishis Rabbah quotes that one for us also. Good. Okay, so Gary's a little ahead of the game. He knows some of the midrashim that we're going to work off of. But Gary, I want to let you know, even after we see these midrashim, a lot of these questions stick around. Okay? But these are, and there's another one, this is just a halakhic question that we should put out there. How could he have married two sisters? Yes, Jeffrey, you can take two wives, but you cannot take two sisters. So right. So one of the this is the easiest one to answer up because really we
can't take two sisters.
You can't take two sisters. No, there's a pasuk in Achrimos that you can't marry two sisters. You can't have rival wives that are sisters.
Mother and a daughter.
Mother and a daughter also not. You can't take two married. You can't take two sisters in their lifetimes.
Yeah.
Meaning, if you marry Leah and Leah dies,
then
you can marry Rachel. But if you divorce Leah, you still can't marry Rachel. Okay, she has to be dead. So you can't marry two sisters because, and presumably, right? I'm not going to say the reason for the din because that's silly of me to say what God had in mind. But one obvious, I guess, positive, you know, a consequence of that din is that you don't end up with a Rachel Leah situation, which is extremely detrimental. Okay.
But in the meantime, Lavan.
Oh, Lavan really gets him.
He really
gets him. So yeah, so Yaakov did marry the two sisters, and like Gary said, we generally answer that by saying even though we generally assume that the Avos kept all of Torah, they didn't really necessarily keep all the lavim. They didn't keep all the prohibitions. And even if they did, they certainly didn't have to keep them outside of Eretz Yisrael. And that's backed up, that's really that the basis of that, when does Rachel die? As they are coming into the land. Okay? So as they're coming into the land is when Rachel dies. Why? Because had she stayed alive when they entered the land, then both Rachel and Yaakov would have been in violation of this din of not marrying two sisters. And therefore, she had to die to save herself and Yaakov from that situation. I don't want to get into the save yourself from that din by dying sort of discussion, but either way. Okay, so we generally, that's generally how we sort of answer that one up. Okay? Good. Let's look at a word. I want to pick out one word that will give us another question. Vayomer Lavan in Chaf Hei. The very end of Chaf Hei. Okay, Vayomer Lavan, Yaakov said to Lavan, Mazos Asisa Li, what did you do to me? Halo Barachel Avadti Imach. Couldn't he have stopped there? Okay, right, what have you done to me? Isn't that a good enough question? And he continues with, Vilama Rimisani, why have you tricked or deceived me? Okay, what word does that remind us of? Rimisani. What's the root? Ramai. Okay, Mirma.
Yeah.
Where have we seen that word before? We saw it last week's parasha in Toldos, towards the end. It wasn't the subject of the shir, so I'll let you all not know, right? But what was the?
That's when Esav says that's how Yaakov got the brachos.
It's not Esav. It's Yitzchak.
No.
Okay. Yitzchak says ba achicha b'mirma. Okay. With craftiness, and he has stolen your brachos. So what? It's the same word. Okay. That's important. And Yaakov chooses that word, mind you. Okay? It's the same word. Vayomer Lavan, and Lavan says to him, Lo yasechen bimkomenu, it is not done in our place, la seis hatzira lefnei habichira, to give the younger before the elder. What is that reminiscent of? The brachos. When Yaakov deceives Yitzchak, pretending to be the elder, right, pretending to be his own brother, in order to put the younger before the elder. Which should now raise a question about Yaakov. Okay, I'll raise it. What is Yaakov thinking throughout the story? We get very little insight into Yaakov's thought process. We tend not to get insight into thought process in Chumash in general. But did Yaakov never see the Mida Keneged Mida here? Did he not catch on?
This was his punishment.
Perhaps this was a punishment. Right? That's found in the Midrashim, that this was a punishment. So, it's like, it's a little difficult for, Yaakov's position here is a little difficult. It's unstable where he's standing, because he did the same thing. Okay? So let's keep that in mind. Let's look at some of the Rishonim. Let's look at Rashi to start with, and see what we can come up with. As far as one of our questions, Vayhi Baboker. It was in the morning, Vihinehi Leia. Aval Balaila, Lohai Saleya. Right? At night it wasn't Leia. Lefi. Good. So now Rashi quotes from a Gemara in Megillah. Rashi skips the beginning because he just says, Lefi Shamasar Yaakov LeRachel Simanim. He gave Rachel these secret signs. Okay? So let's go. I'm going to go to the Gemara in Megillah and we'll read it from there. Vayhi Baboker, Vihinehi Leia. So they quote the pasuk. Now this pasuk, this discussion here is discussing the sacrifice and the modesty of Rachel, her great deeds. Vayhi baboker v'hinehi Leah, and it was the morning and she was Leah. Michal da ad hashda lav Leahi. What? Until the morning she wasn't Leah. Ela mitoch simanim shamasra Rachel leLeah lo havayada ad hashda. Okay. So, because it was because of the simanim, these signs that Rachel gave to Leah, that until then Yaakov didn't know which girl it was. So what's that? So we have to read a few lines. We have to go back a little bit in the Gemara. So discussing when Yaakov and Rachel first meet. Vayeged Yaakov the Rachel. It's a few pesukim earlier in Chumash. Vayeged Yaakov the Rachel ki achi aviyahu hu. Okay. So Yaakov meets her and he says, I am the brother Kiachi Aviyahu, I am the brother of your father. Okay? So Gemara asks, Vichi Aviyahu? Is that true? Right, what was the relationship? Was he the brother?
Nephew.
Right, it was the uncle and nephew, which could be, was he the brother of her father? Right? Yaakov and Rachel were cousins. Okay? But he refers to himself as an uncle. He refers to himself as the brother of the father.
He said, I can be the same crook.
Good.
He can be.
Okay, so let's just see this. V'halo ben achos aviyahu. Was he not the son of the daughter of her father? A cousin? Ella amr la. Rather, here's the conversation that's left out of Chumash, says the Gemara, based off the Medrash. Okay? Amr la. Minsivali. Marry me. Amr lay. So she says to him, yes, I'd like to. Right? First proposal. Mihu, however, Abba Rama'ahu, Velo Yachalik, like, my father is a trickster, and you can't beat him. He's better than you are. You're not going to beat him. Amar La, so he says to her, Achiv Ana Bim Rama'us. I am his brother in craftiness, meaning I'm his equal. That's why he says, I'm the brother of your father. Rather than referring to himself as a cousin, he refers to himself as an uncle because he says, I am as crafty. Amrale, so she says, Umishari Litzadike Lisaguye Bimirma. What will allow you? You a tzaddik, a righteous person, can you really be involved? Can you be these people? Is that mutter? So Amrale, so he says, yes. And he quotes a pasuk from Shmuel, that with those who are crafty and with those who are wicked, you can act similarly in order to protect yourself from them. Okay? Amar La. So he now continues and he says, sir, Umay Ramyusa. What is his craftiness? Meaning, what will he do? What are you afraid is going to happen? Amar Le, Isli Achsa. I have a sister, the Kashisha Minai, who is older than me. Vilo Minasivli Mikama. And he will not marry me off until he marries her off. This is classic, right?
Okay.
Right? I mean, think about the girls today, right? The younger sister doesn't marry before the older sister. You have to ask for shusin, right? A whole thing. Okay? But she says, the problem is, what I'm nervous about is even if we decide we're engaged, right? You asked me to marry you, and I said yes, and now I tell Dad, and he's going to pretend to be very happy, he's going to find a way to mess this up for us because he will not allow me to marry before my older sister is married. So what does Yaakov do? Maser lusti manim. So he gives her signs. Right? Something like, you know, a third base coach would give, you know, one of these, you know, like weird things that nobody else is going to pick up on. So the Nastakin of Ibali Asosis, by the way, tells us that the signs were actually halachos. He taught her three halachos. He taught her the halachos of Chala, Nida, and Halakha Saner. The three mitzvot, the three halachos that we classically refer to as a woman's mitzvah, right? Nida, obviously, is a woman's mitzvah. Chala, the taking of Hafrashat Chala, please, the taking of Hafrashat Chala, right? When you bake to a certain extent, you need to take some off, okay? That's a woman's mitzvah. And Halakha Saner, the lighting of Shabbos candles in the house, okay? So that's what we say, these simanim. But either way, there were secret signs that only Yaakov and Rachel were going to know. And this way, when she's wearing the veil and she goes to the chuppah, and it might be somebody else because Lavan's going to play a trick, Yaakov will do his half of the sign, and Rachel will give back her half of the sign, right? Like a secret handshake. Okay? So she'll do back her half of the sign, and he'll know that it's her. And everything will be okay. So what happened? Ki mata lelya, when the night came, meaning the fateful night, okay, the night of the wedding, Amra Hashta, and they were swapped, okay, right? And Leah going to the chuppah. Amra, Rachel says to herself, Hashta mixifa achasai. My sister is going to be embarrassed. Because what's happening? You're sitting there at the wedding, right? She's going to be left at the altar, forgive the phrase, okay? But, right, she's going to be left at the chuppah. Right? Yaakov's going to do his half of the sign, and Leah's not going to know what to do. And Yaakov's going to say, I'm not going to marry you. And right, it'd be a huge uproar, and it'd make the news, right? It'd be a big shanda, and she'd be really embarrassed. So what does Rachel do? Misartinhu nihala. So she gave away the signs. She passes on the signs to Leah, to spare her sister the embarrassment. So the first thing we absolutely have to recognize here is the tremendous sacrifice, the superhuman sacrifice that Rachel makes. Okay? Because remember, she agreed to marry Yaakov, and this is the man she's intending to spend her life with. Okay? And 7 years, the two of them are waiting for this moment. Right? I mean, I don't know how long any of you stayed. Not 7 years. Right? I was long amongst a lot of my friends. My wife and I were dating. From when we started dating until we got married, it was a year. And it was a long time. Okay?
So long.
Right? Terrible, right?
So long.
Okay?
Terrible.
7 years.
Yeah.
7 years. From the time they got engaged, even, right? He said, marry me. She says yes. And it's 7 years later. Okay? This is what she's been waiting for. And then she, because her sister is going to be embarrassed, she passes away those signs.
So that's a good excuse for her, that she wanted not to embarrass her sister. But on the other hand, she's falling into that same lack of character and lack of honesty that Yaakov has demonstrated, that Lavan has demonstrated.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. This is a question. So the lack of honesty is one way to ask the question, but I want to ask it differently, okay? And I saw this question from one of my Rebbeim, Karen Biafna, Mashgiach, Rav Avram Rivlin, who I've referred to often in this year, okay? He says there's a halacha. You can't do tzedakah with somebody else's money. And Joseph, imagine you lend me, or you ask me to hold on to your money for you. A poor person comes by and I say, oh, by the way, I gave him your money. Can I do that? No, obviously not. So what does Rachel do? When she gives away these simanim to Leah, yeah, she is sparing her sister the embarrassment. And that's tremendous, and we cannot take away one drop of that. Okay? It is a tremendous sacrifice. What she did personally, her sacrifice that she made. But there's another person here. She chose to sacrifice for Yaakov also. What gives her the right to do that? And this is a question that has bothered me in the Pesukim. This is a question that has bothered me since when I saw Rav Rivlin ask the question. And I saw this in a sefer of Rav Rivlin, and he asks the question, and it is the only time I have ever seen him do this, and he writes, okay, I wish I had it in front of me to read you his language, but he writes, I have asked this question to my Rebbeim and my colleagues, and I have not received a satisfactory answer. And he writes in the sefer, if anybody reading this has something to offer me, please let me know. I don't know. It's a very good question. Now, I do want to read a Rashi based on a Midrash in Sefer Yirmiyah, because despite the strength of this question, we cannot lose sight of what Rachel did and the way it is lauded in Chazal. Okay, and I don't want to take away from what Rachel did. I don't want to walk out of here. I don't want to give you or anybody listening the impression that we are somehow criticizing Rachel. I'm asking questions because I don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay, but we have to keep in context who we're talking about. So there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. Ko Amar Hashem. Hashem says, Kol Berama Nishma. A voice in the heavens are heard. Okay, in the depth of human, right? Nihi Bechisam Rim Rachel Mevakal Banah. Rachel is crying on her children. So what does this refer to? So there is Rashi quotes us Birama Bishamayim Haramim, the heavens, right? High up, excuse me, that's the Mitzvah Tavit. Okay. Kol Birama Nishma, Kol Birum Alma in the heavens is heard, crying for Beis Yisrael. Rachel Mivaka Albaneha. Rachel, Rachel is crying for her children. Medrash Agada. Achar Shahochu Avos Yimos the Fayas Sakadosh Baruchu. Al Shahemid Menashe Demus Behecha Velonis Payas. Menashe puts an idol in the Heichal, in the Beis Mikdash, okay? And we are going to exile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, the Avos come out of their Kvarim, as it were. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov come to plead for mercy before Hashem, to appease him, to take back the decree. And God does not listen. He is not appeased by what they say. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, okay? And he doesn't matter. It doesn't move him, okay? And then the Imaos come, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, and nothing, okay? Nichnasa Rachel. Rachel comes and says, Amra Lefanav, Ribono Shalolam, Rachame mi Merubim. Whose compassion and mercy is greater? Rachamecha, yours, capital Y, yours. Or Rachame Basar Vadan, or that of, or the mercy of a flesh and blood of a human. Havi Omer Rachamecha Merubim. Certainly yours, God, your compassion is greater than ours. V'halo ani hichnasti tzarasi b'soch besi. Did I not bring my own rival into my home when I gave away the simanim to Leah? Did I not bring my rival into my home? Shekol avoda sh'avad Yaakov es avi lo avad ela b'shvili. Because all the work, the 7 years and all the work he did was just to marry me. Uke shabasi likanes l'chupa hichnisu es achosi. And when I was supposed to go to the chuppah, they brought my sister instead. Lo daisha shatakti. It wasn't just that I kept quiet and let events play out. Ella shamastati losi money. I gave her my sign so that she shouldn't be embarrassed. Af ata, you also God. Im hichnisu banecha tsarasecha bebeischa shtoklahem. God, if they bring your rival, they bring an idol into your home, keep quiet. Let it go. End quote. Amar, so God says, law, he says to her, Yafe limadit sanegoria. You have given great defense. Yesh Sachar L'Pulasech. So the pasuk continues, there is reward to your deeds, V'Latzidkasach, and to your righteousness, Shemasar Timanech L'Achosech, that you gave your signs to your sister. Okay, so we needed to see that because that's the way we refer to Rachel's sacrifice. Okay, the question stands, but it also doesn't detract from who and what we're talking about. Okay? Good. Now, for the record, there's another missing conversation. Now that we've seen these two midrashim, what conversation is missing? Yaakov wakes up in the morning and it's Leah. Did he not talk to Leah? Who else should he have talked to before going to Laban? Should have spoken to Rachel. Rachel, what'd you do? Why did you do it? What's going on?
He didn't know that she had done this yet.
Well,
he didn't know that she had given the sign.
No, of course. Absolutely, Joseph.
She
did.
Leah had the sign.
He thought it was Rachel the whole night.
He didn't tell her. She had it only perfect to told her.
How could Leah have known the secret sign if not for Rachel giving them away?
He never, okay. There's no, all right. We
maybe he was just, you're saying maybe he was just so mature. He was so just blown away and in
she
shock.
She overheard the two of them saying the sign to each other, whatever.
Maybe. It's only mitzchus.
Okay.
Fine, maybe. But it seems like it should be there.
Yeah, so why isn't he talking to her?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't know.
But the message says he did, and he said, how did you do this? That's what you did to your
So that's Leah. Oh. Good. So that's the answer to the Leah question. So here, so we'll do that one.
Okay.
Right? So there's another medrash that gives us an answer on the missing conversation between Yaakov and Leah.
Okay.
Yaakov wakes up that morning, v'hinehi Leah, and it's Leah. What? As if to say it wasn't Leah that night, right? Okay? So he realizes who it was. So who quotes this? I saw this in the Medrash. The Dasakanim says this. I don't have it in front of me. Okay, but the Dasakanim says that what happens? So it's the morning and he realizes it's Leah. So what does he do? He wakes up. It's quoted. Bereishis Rabbah brings this Medrash. Okay, he wakes up and he says, "Deceiver, daughter of deceiver." That's what he calls her. Right, instead of "Good morning, honey," "Deceiver, daughter of deceiver." Okay, because your father is a deceiver and you're a deceiver. And she says, right? And he says, I was supposed to marry Rachel, and look at what you did, right? You tricked me. Did I not all night? I referred to you as Rachel, because they were presumably having a conversation. I called you Rachel, and you answered me. Right? I said, Rachel, you said yes. What are you doing? You're not Rachel. You're Leah. So she turns around and she says, what? Is there such a thing as a teacher without a student? Didn't you do the same thing to your father? You pretended to be your brother. And didn't he say, are you Esav? And you said, yes. Right? Let's remember Parshas Toldos. She says, you did it. You did the same thing. Don't call me a deceiver. You are guilty of the same thing. And then Yaakov goes to Laban. That's the conversation that happens between Leah and Yaakov. And for all intents and purposes, she wins the argument. Because what's he going to say to that?
Was it sort of different?
What's different?
That that he was encouraged to do this by his mother.
Good.
She was told by her father.
Says who?
What?
Is that true? I'll tell you it might be. I'll read it two ways. I'll read you the psukim two ways. It might be true, but Yaakov was commanded by his mother.
Yeah.
And that makes it better, Joseph?
No, but he still deceived her. He deceived him. He deceived her, but he rationalized it on the basis that he had bought them. He had bought
the birthright. Good. Yes. But what she's saying is, you pulled the same shtick. Don't get up in my grill, right? Don't. You can't blame me for that. You did the same thing. Okay. So, who gives us this one? We have, so as far as what she did, also, right, was she forced? Did her father tell her to do this? Look at the pasuk, Vayhi ba'erev, chaf gimel, Vayhi ba'erev, and it was that night, Vayikach es Leah bito, and he took Leah his daughter. Lavan took his daughter. Vayikach, we know in Chumash, refers to kachenu b'dvarim. He forced her. He told her. He sweet talked her into it. Lavan really put Leah in a compromising position. He sort of forced her into it. Vayikach, again, the Dasa Kingdom. No, I just want to make sure I quote the right source. Ah, the Or HaChaim tells us, Vayikachet Leah, had it been Leah's own seed, perhaps it would have said, Vayavo Leah.
Okay.
Leah went. Vayikachet Leah, and he took Leah, he took her, he made her go. On the other hand, let's remember, why does Leah have weak eyes? Why have they made Leah Rakos?
About
what? She didn't want to marry Esav. And what happens now?
She gets Yaakov.
Well, take a step one back, right? Did Leah do this at the command of her father? Or
was she looking for a way out?
She was looking for a way out. Which I couldn't necessarily blame her for.
Her sister helped her.
Right?
Okay, well, where she's taken, her father's taken her to Yaakov.
Yeah.
And where does the sister give her the secret signal? Before that?
Before. Out of order. In the event. No. Presumably, she gave her the signs at some point between when Rachel realized she was going to be switched and when Yaakov did his half. Or said, what's the other half of the secret password? Okay? So yes, it's a good question, right? Where does that happen? Again, v'hinehi le'ah, right? V'hi baboker v'hinehi le'ah, that's where Rashi quotes off the Medrash. That's not where the event happened.
Yeah.
Right, he gave her the signs, right? Rachel gave Leah the signs earlier, but this is when Yaakov discovers. And what prompts us to say there was this whole thing about signs is that only in the morning was she Rachel, because at night she wasn't. So we say no, because at night she pretended to be Rachel, okay? So we do have two ways to look at Leah's role here, okay? We have one way which says Leah's afraid of ending up with Esav, v'nei Leah Rakos, and an opportunity presents itself. Lavan comes to her and says, I need you to do this, it's the minog, or she says it's the minog, and she knows there's a heavy veil, and she jumps at the opportunity. Alternatively, we have the more sort of, I would say, textually oriented read, which is Vayikaches Leah, but I wouldn't discount the first, I think it's just more likely the second. Vayikaches Leah, Lavan forces her into this. Okay, so that's Leah's role.
Is that why Rachel is so willing to let her
sister go? Perhaps, yes. That's another proof to it.
Why would she give up?
If Leah jumps at this, right? If Leah was opportunistic, right? If she was just taking a chance that presents itself and she created this plan herself, perhaps Rachel would have had less compassion on her. Maybe Rachel said, you know what? You got yourself into this. Get yourself out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's only because she was forced into a position that, yeah, she may have been happy to be in, but she was forced into a position that she had no choice in, that now Rachel has to come and bail her out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
So, good. So that's that. Let's deal with some of our other questions. Okay, so that's Yaakov and Leah's conversation. Okay? Yaakov and Lavan conversation.
You said Yaakov and Rachel is missing.
Yaakov and Rachel is missing, and I don't know where it is.
There's no okay.
Yeah, we don't have a good answer. I heard once. I asked this question last year in the shul I was working in. Worked in a shul in Long Island last year, and I asked this question again. I asked Rachel this question then, and somebody suggested he wanted to say Yosef. Right, think ahead a few parshiyos.
Yeah.
Yosef is in Egypt for how many years?
17.
And how many of them is he viceroy for? He was in jail for?
I remember.
2 years, yeah.
Okay. Two extra years. How many before, though? Well, then he was in jail for quite a number of years.
He was in jail for a while?
No.
But either way.
From 17 to 30, no?
Well, that's how long he was there.
That's how long he was in jail.
That's how long.
I think
correct.
He was 13
right, yeah.
years in
13,
jail.
Right. Okay.
11 plus 2.
And then how long was he in power? How long was he the viceroy? At least 9. The 7 bad years, because he goes and he tells Paro, there are 7 bad years coming, and then there are good years, and then there are bad years.
Yes.
And Yaakov comes down with the family in the second bad year. So he's been in power for 9 years. He's been second in command in Egypt for 9 years.
Yeah.
Why did he not tell his dad where he was? Presumably his father was worried about him. So we have a whole lot of answers,
yeah.
And this might make for a good year then, but at least one answer offered there is he actually thought Yaakov was in on the deal of selling him and getting rid of him. Okay? But let's assume that Yosef didn't think that. Let's assume not like that. Let's assume Yosef thought his dad was missing him, right? Loved him and missed him and wanted him home. Why does Yosef not tell his father? So one answer that's suggested, accepted, whatever, okay, but one answer that's suggested is that Yosef had a nevuah. Yosef knew about the promise of that we would have to go down to Egypt. And Yosef realized that he was now in a position to facilitate this.
Right.
By not telling his father where he was and that he was in power and all those things, he could facilitate everybody coming down to Egypt, and he could facilitate the beginning of that galus, and therefore the eventual redemption and the going into Eretz Yisrael.
Okay?
So Yosef did that. Perhaps we could suggest that Rachel had the same sort of nevuah. Rachel knew about the Shvatim and about needing to have four wives. Right, there we go. Good. I got the face I wanted. Okay. Thank you. Okay. But you could suggest. I don't think it's the most poshut read. Is why I'm not entirely satisfied with this answer and why I'm stuck with my with our question. But one answer that could be suggested is she knew, and she wanted to facilitate the situation, and therefore she had to do this. Okay, it's an answer. I don't think it's the best answer. It's an answer. Okay, good. So, that's Rachel and Yaakov. Yaakov and Leah we mostly dealt with. Yaakov and Lavan. He goes to Lavan. Why would he go to Lavan after Leah just told him what she told him? Right? She's got a great answer. Now, by the way, I have a question or two on Leah's answer. There's dialogue between them.
Yeah.
How did Leah know about Yaakov deceiving Yitzchak? How in the world would she have known about that?
Yeah.
Did Yaakov tell anybody? You'd think he wouldn't have told people this. This is the kind of thing you want to keep quiet.
Right.
So how'd Leah know?
Nevuah?
Perhaps. So it's on the basis of this that I saw in one commentary. I saw this in an article came out from the Herzog Institute in Eretz Yisrael, from Gush. It's not a Gush article, it's a teaching school there. Either way. So I saw, I don't know how credible the source is, but it's a nice idea, so I want to put it out there. Okay? He suggests that perhaps you could read that Medrash as an internal monologue within Yaakov.
Uh-huh.
Yaakov wakes up that morning, and that's why it's not recorded in Chumash.
Uh-huh.
Yaakov wakes up that morning and he sees Leah in his bed, not Rachel. And he thinks to himself, how did she get here? And he says to himself, this woman is a deceiver, the daughter of deceivers. What is she doing here? And then he plays out in his head what her response would be.
Mm-hmm.
And what was her response? What was the supposed response? You did it too. Look, right? The pot calling the kettle black. Exactly. Okay. You did the same thing. What are you getting upset at me for? You have no right. Okay? So if that's the case, right? Now Yaakov has this conversation within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now hold that. That's why he doesn't talk to Leah. So he goes straight to the earth. He goes straight to Lavan. He says, Lavan, what'd you do? Right? Because he had to confront him. He did deceive him. And what's Lavan's answer? Okay, Lavan says, Lo yasechin bimkomenu. This isn't how it's done here.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to say two things in that answer. Number one, he's saying, I don't have the right to violate the local custom. I am bound to that custom. Two, he's saying, the townspeople wouldn't have allowed me, even if I wanted to violate the local custom. Even if I wanted to let you marry Rachel instead of Leah, I can't. I wouldn't have been able to do it because the townspeople never would have allowed it. I can't do it, and they wouldn't have allowed it. Right? They would have come out with their pitchforks. Okay? Pitchforks and torches. And then he says, okay? Lo yasachin bimkomeinu l'seis, right? It's not done here. Here it's not done, but perhaps where you're from it's done. He gives him that subtle little bit of rebuke. Okay? But
so how does he know?
Good. I want to come back to that. Hold that for 1 second. Let me give you one more read on this. Lo yasachin bimkomeinu l'seis, right? I couldn't have done it. And therefore, right, we think Lavan's defending himself at this point, right? He's like weaseling out of it. Lavan is the ultimate, like, trickster, weasel, okay? He is the master, okay? What does he say? I couldn't give you. So one, he says, you should have known. It's the local custom, you should have known. And that's why I didn't tell you before, because it's your fault, you should have known. Good. But he goes a step further, he says, I did you a favor. I helped you out. How? Because I couldn't let you marry Rachel if Leah was still not married. So what have I done here?
Why?
Because that's the local custom. I couldn't allow it.
Okay.
Couldn't allow it. And therefore, you think I forced you into a bad situation? Excuse me? You think I forced you into a bad situation? I helped you out. Because now that Leah's married, albeit to you, but now that Leah's married...
Now you can marry Rachel.
You can marry Rachel right away. Go ahead. Get married. Right? Finish with the Shal Rachos and marry her.
Then he said, work another 7 years.
7 years.
Work it off after. But why, you marry her today.
Well, why did he owe him 7 years?
Yeah.
Because 7 years is the bargain.
No. If he would have said gratis, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. The extra 7 years, that doesn't work.
So he says, the deal we had made was 7 years to marry my daughter. You are married to one of my daughters.
No.
You now owe me another 7 for Rachel. Because 7 years is the going rate for the marriage of the daughter. And had another suitor come, let's say I didn't force you into marrying Leah, says Lavan. Yaakov, you want to marry your wife? I don't give you Leah. And I say to you instead, you can't marry Rachel
until
Leah's married. How long is it going to take until a suitable suitor is found and marries Leah? Who knows how long it'll take till she finds the boy of her dreams? But then it's 7 years. Because the going rate is 7 years. That'll answer an early question, why did he say 7? Right? The going rate is 7 years, says Lavan. And therefore, you want to marry Rachel today? Fine. Even if I find a suitable husband for Leah today, it's going to be another 7 years. You want to wait? Really? You would have been okay with waiting at least another 7 years, never mind how long it's going to take her to date? Do you want to do that? No. I did you a favor. You're married to Leah right now? Finish your week of Shabbat Rachel? Marry Rachel next week. Fine, you'll give me another 7 years later, after, because that's the going rate. I can't do anything about that, says Law, right? I'm clean. I can't do anything about that. But I did you a favor. Imagine the audacity of the man who says, I did you a favor.
Did he in fact marry her the next week?
Yeah. Yeah.
He married her the next week.
He says, Malaysia will finish your week with this one.
They got married
the following week, right after Shavuot Rachos. And then he worked it off while he was already married. Because Lavan was willing to trust Yaakov. He says, you I'll trust, because you already gave me your 7 years. Another guy, for Leah, had you been waiting until I got married, you would have to wait till he paid off his debt first. And then, so you would have been waiting longer, I did you a favor. Okay? It's an interesting read. It just ups the level of deceit and, like, gall, right? It just ups that, the chutzpah of Lavan. Okay? Now, to the question of how did Lavan know about what Yaakov did?
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't.
He must have, because he had a ready answer.
Maybe that was, Jeff, maybe that honestly was the custom. Maybe it was the custom. It was a weasel move of him to not tell Yaakov in advance, either in advance of the deal or in advance of the wedding.
Right.
No, but maybe it actually was the local custom. So then why does Yaakov back down? Because it's, yeah.
So why does Yaakov back down? That was custom. He would have.
Tell me! He has at least one more line. And then Lavan would have to say, you should have known. But there should have been at least one more line of dialogue. Would you have accepted that? Say somebody pulled this move on you. Would you buy it? Why does he back down? So we ask the question, how did Leah know about what Yaakov did to his father? And how did Lavan know? Right? Maybe it was an internal monologue. Maybe she didn't know. Maybe he didn't. Maybe Lavan didn't know. But what was the actual formulation of his statement? Laseis hatira lifnei habechira. The local custom, in all honesty, the local custom is not to put the younger, and it doesn't say marry, to place the younger before the elder. And in Yaakov's head, what is that reminiscent of?
What he done.
What he did to his father. And he's forced to back down. Lavan didn't know. Yaakov heard it. Because he did it. The same internal monologue he had about the possible, either the real dialogue that he had, says the Medrash, or the interesting read, right, of the internal monologue. Did Lavan know? Did Lavan not know? Doesn't matter. Yaakov heard it. And Yaakov's perception was, I no longer have a claim to this man because I did the same thing to my father. Okay? So I think we've really answered them all up. Right? Again, we've sort of had to piece one another together. But you have a straight read now of what went on here. Right? Yaakov meets Rachel, gives her the simanim. He then makes the deal with Lavan. Lavan doesn't tell him anything because it is the well-known local custom. And Yaakov then thinks he's marrying Rachel, but he's really marrying Leah. And he finds out, and Leah is forced into it by her father. So Rachel feels dead, so she gives away the Simanim. Yaakov wakes up the next morning, and behold, says the Rashbam. The Rashbam says the word vihinei always indicates sudden knowledge that you didn't have before. He wakes up that morning, realizes it's Leah, which he didn't know before, has this dialogue or internal monologue about what did you do here, okay, goes to Lavan, says to him, actually has the dialogue, the conversation, what did you do to me? And Lavan responds either with knowledge or without knowledge of, this is the custom, buddy, I can't do anything about it, maybe he even said I did you a favor. And even if he said I did you a favor, Yaakov should have contested that also. But Yaakov's got nothing to say because he hears in Lavan's words, look, pal, you did it too. You got no claim to me. Okay, the one question we're left with is, again, Rachel did make a tremendous sacrifice, and she absolutely had the right, and she is praised appropriately for it, for the sacrifice she made on her own part. The question we have, however, is how could she have made that decision on Yaakov's part without ever consulting with him?
Sure.
All right. Any and all answers are appreciated.
This is good.